Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm trying to get used to this cold weather. I mean, the cold weather finally came. And it always comes about Halloween, you know?
Yeah.
That's what's so amazing.
Well, you know.
But, you know, when it's 39 when you get up, you know that winter has finally arrived.
Yeah, we're finally into the fall season, unless something else happens and it ends up being like 90-something again. And then that's...
Well, I hope weird. We don't have 90 and then the next day 39.
I know it. And then, on top of that, not only is this Halloween weekend, but then tonight we change our clocks. Let's see, what is it? Fall backwards. Spring forward,
fall backwards.
So I think that means we get an extra hour of sleep.
We get an extra hour of sleep, which we all need.
Yeah, I like that.
I mean, we've been working hard all summer. I mean, we've been getting up early and getting up before daylight right now.
Yeah.
So now this will help.
Yeah, this will be much better. I don't like getting up and it still feels like, and it looks like outside, like it's still in the middle of the night. I think I should
go back
to sleep.
and it's cold out at that time in the morning.
Oh,
this
yeah.
will give us a little warmer getting up time.
Yeah.
So that might make a difference.
Yeah, it'll be nice. We're finally into, you know, it gets that little crispness in the air in the morning, and it kind of puts you in that fall mind frame where, you know, it actually feels appropriate for the season. And today is the day. I always look forward to the day after Halloween because it used to be, remember a long time ago, this is the day where you would go to the store and get the Halloween candy for like 50% off.
I know, at the discounts. You're thinking about all the discounts.
Yeah, yeah.
Because everything is discounted the day after.
Do they still do that? I don't even know.
And we just can't fool these stores. You know, if they would have it the day before, I mean, right there at the last minute, people would buy even more candy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Put it on sale on Thursday. It was on sale. Oh my gosh, people would go and the shelves would be empty by noon.
That's right. I used to see right at the last minute all the shelves at the grocery stores. Halloween candy was gone.
Oh yeah. It did not stick around for very long.
No.
But boy, I don't even know if they even do the day after sale anymore. They used to.
I don't know. There's been so many stores go under. You know, every day I read some more stores going out. So we're going to have a lot less shopping places when all this fallout is over.
I know it. It's more and more people are closing their doors.
I think I mentioned the other day, Olive Garden is closing 900 stores. That's a lot.
Is that all of them, or is it?
They said all in the U.S.
Oh,
yes.
Oh.
So all that breadsticks are going away, folks.
I love the breadsticks. Oh, my
I
word.
I do, too.
You roll the breadsticks around in the salad dressing. Oh, my gosh, that's magic.
I just can't believe, because it was always my go-to place, like on Sunday after church.
Yeah.
You'll go to Olive Garden.
Yeah. And I mean, I still see commercials for Olive Garden and the deals or whatever it is, the pasta deals, and you pick four or whatever it is. I still see the commercials for it. How long are they going to be open for? Are they closing soon?
I don't remember. It just said they were closing all 900 in the U.S.
Oh, that makes me sad.
I thought it was owned by a U.S. company, but it must not be.
Hmm. Wow. That really makes
anyway,
me sad. I'm like you.
All those.
Yeah, that was a great place to go on Sunday. Oh,
there was a lot of great places that are not going to be there. Of course, you know, Red Lobster. I mean, there's just so many places that have went out.
I know it. It's almost like it's forcing us to all to just stay home and cook.
I'm afraid so. You know, everybody's been going out to dinner and lunch and everything else. There's not going to be near as many places to do that.
No. Mm-mm. You know, and buffets used to be really big. I don't even know if they're...
I loved them years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few of those left.
Yeah.
And the cafeterias are gone.
Oh, I used to love the cafeterias.
I mean, everybody loved the cafeterias.
Mm.
And the small towns all had them.
Yeah.
Everybody went there after church. That and the Dairy Queen.
Oh, the Dairy Queen.
If you were really small, you went to the Dairy Queen.
Yeah. That was always fun. Oh, yeah.
It was, and you knew everybody there.
Yes. And it was like a tradition, and every Sunday, you'd go get a sundae.
That's exactly right.
I and miss
ice
all
cream.
Those.
Everybody had those choices.
Oh, see, now, I think ice cream should be a food group anyway, so, you know.
It is a food group.
Oh, I'm sorry. What's wrong? It is a food group.
You've got to have that first in case everybody eats all the ice cream.
Yeah, yeah. And you don't ever want to risk getting full on, you know, food and then be too full for ice cream. It does not work that way.
That would really be a shame.
Yeah. Ooh, those are the good times.
Well, anyway, let me tell you what I've been thinking about this week.
What have you been thinking?
What you should keep and not keep. Where your house doesn't just get completely full of documents. Now, I'm always hearing people say, I really need to clean all that out. And when they die, their kids say, oh, my gosh, what a mess.
Yeah.
They haven't cleaned this out in 20 years. So I'm going to give you a list. The things you should keep: your mortgage, your vehicle and boat titles. Always keep those titles. Your current warranties. And major home reports. Now, if you've got old warranties, throw them out. Business ownership documents. If your company, you know, all those documents when you started out 20 years ago, and you've still got them. Well, unless you're going to sell the business, you probably don't need those old documents. Your insurance policies. You've got to have those past death. I mean, you know. When you die, they better still be there.
Yeah.
We can always get a copy. You always need to keep your birth certificates, your marriage license, and your death certificates.
Yeah.
Your Social Security cards. Don't let them get away. Your military discharge papers.
Yeah.
Your divorce papers, if you've gotten a divorce. You've got to keep those. Because if you go to do anything financial, they'll say, we need a copy of your divorce decree.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't even know what you did it.
Yeah.
Loan payoff letters. You need to really keep those.
Oh.
Because if you pay a loan off, sometimes later somebody says, well, we can't find where you paid that off.
Oh, geez.
You've got to be able to deliver that.
Hmm.
And then your pension plan, your IRA documents, your 401 documents, name change. If you've changed your name because you didn't like it, you need to keep that document.
Yeah.
Now, education records and diplomas.
Oh.
You might be called upon. Then your medical bills and receipts for tax deductions.
Hmm.
Let me tell you what you can throw away. Tax returns, if it's been 7 years. Expired ID cards. You don't need those. Expired warranties, those old warranties that aren't worth a hoot. Throw them away. Old appliance manuals. You've been keeping those things for 20 years.
I have.
Yeah, 20 years.
Appliances we don't even own anymore.
travel itineraries, where you took those trips 15, 20 years ago, and you kept the itineraries all these years. Get rid of it.
I still got them.
Your utility bills. After a year, you don't need those utility bills. I've seen people that had utility bills for 20 years.
Oh, yeah. I'm one of them.
It's just taking up space.
It is.
You don't need those. And pay stubs where you got paid.
Yeah.
You don't need to keep those pay stubs for 20 years.
I got those, too.
And if you get rid of all that, yeah. you could find things in your drawers, you know, in your desk, everywhere. And people just pile this on their desk.
Yeah.
I've went in people's offices. Everything's just piled on it.
Yeah.
But so,
you know what happens?
You should, you know, clean out the file cabinet. Say, okay. This has been 10 years. It needs to go. This has been 7 years, and that needs to go. You know, a lot of this stuff you do not need to keep.
I'll put them on the desk, and then they'll start piling up, and it gets in my way. And so I said, I'll go through this whole pile later. And so I just file a hodgepodge of papers in the drawer, and And then before you know it, another pile ends up on the desk. And I say, I'll go through this later. And that joins the previous pile. And this goes on for a year, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. So now, even if I wanted to find anything, it's just in a hodgepodge that I've never gone through. And I've got.
That's just wrong.
It is.
When you die, the family's going to say, oh my gosh, call the truck, get this shredded. So my thing is, I keep a shredder next to my desk.
Mm.
And I shred every month. So if you shred the things you don't need, you won't have that happen. And you say, oh, I might need that. Well, if you haven't needed it in a year, you're probably not going to need it.
I'm one of those. You know? I might need that. And I'm the kind of person that as soon as I throw something away, I'm looking for it. I'm like, now, where was that? And I'm like, oh, I just threw it away. Yeah. Every time it happens. So.
And the other thing you can do is put it in the cloud.
Yeah.
Put it on the computer. And then throw all the paper away. You know?
Yeah. I need some kind of a scanner or something to put it all in the cloud. That would save a lot of room.
Scan it in. It would save so much room. And then get rid of the stuff that you've had on your desk or in your file cabinet for 10 years. Some of it 20.
Yeah. And some of it is in there 20 or 30 years, literally. I know it. And I know, so as I'm thinking about it right now, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, I remember this from three houses ago. I remember this
yeah,
from.
Yeah, and people, you know, they have all this stuff. It litters. The pile gets higher on their desk all the time. And I've went into people's offices, and the files looked like they were moldy.
Yeah.
I mean, they'd had them so long.
Yeah.
So I thought I'd just bring that up today. You know, you could get modern, get in the 21st century, you know, get rid of all this stuff that you don't need.
I need to get
Make
modern.
Make it simple. You know?
I'm surprised. I bet I could probably gain several square feet of footage back if I got rid of the things I don't need anymore.
Okay, let me give you, for instance, I have a dear, dear client, and they were putting everything by hand in a book.
Oh, boy.
Like, this policy came due, I have this premium due, this policy hadn't come due yet. Everything by hand. I convinced them to get a computer, put it on file in a computer, made their life 10 times better.
Oh, yeah.
And I have a lot of people call me, tell me about this policy I have. Well, they don't have it in their computer.
If
they did, it'd be so simple and so easy.
Yeah, it saves
and
room.
They would know when it was due. They'd know how much you paid, if anything, for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, you need a computer file.
Yeah, and it'd be easier to find, too.
That's right. You can look it up in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You just put the name in, and it'll pop up for you.
See, I need to get modern.
That's just my thought, of course. Everybody doesn't have to get in the 21st century, but it would be interesting.
We should. I especially should. So yeah, that's a good reminder. Not wait till spring. It might be time to do some fall cleaning this year.
That's right.
Oh, my word.
And like your children's birthdays and their socials.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
I got it all.
It should be in a computer.
I got everything.
Not laying around.
Wow. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I'm just sitting here thinking, if I go back 30 years worth of papers, you know how long that's going to take? It'll take me another 30 years just to go through it.
I think you need to just call the shredding people.
I do.
Just say, take everything. I mean, everything. It's too late for you to file.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't possibly file now.
No.
It's been that long. I can see files sitting all over your floor and everywhere else.
Oh, they're everywhere. They're in cabinets and drawers and old desks that I don't even use anymore. They're in there, on top,
wow.
And under.
What does your wife say about all this?
Well, she keeps telling me to throw things away. And I say, I might need it.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. And so now that's twice now.
I doubt that at this point. The 30 years worth of stuff is probably really not worth keeping.
No, it's probably not. So now that I've heard two people tell me that in the last week, I think it's probably time to listen and do something about it.
I think it's time to move out and get it done.
Yeah, move into the 21st century. Go to
the
cloud.
That's right. I mean, it's not too late.
No. So what happened this week? What are some good news? What's some good things happening in the world of
Well, the good news is we've been closing policies like crazy, and I've got two more right now to close, a six-month and a 15-month. And so those are ready to go. We've closed the other two. The $1 million one and the $250,000 one. The 6 month one was closed in about 2 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that one's done. And this one is a 15 month, as I said, a 9 month.
Mm.
Or it's, no, the 9 month one's gone. It's a 6 month one. 6 month and 15 months, they're ready to go.
Wow. I'm sure those are probably
first
fast.
Come, first serve basis.
Yeah.
Because we were behind on getting policies, so everybody's jumping in these policies.
I bet, because people have been waiting for a long time, and then to have, and I remember last
weekend.
They have
been waiting.
Yeah.
And we were, too, because we had some, you know, that canceled. You know, like when these people say we want to sell their policy, sometimes they're just not sure or something's wrong with them, and they pull the policy.
Yeah.
And when they do, then you've spent all that time and energy and money for nothing.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I know that people have been waiting. And so then it's so strange because, you know, we always talk about how, you know, things go in waves and cycles and all this. And then it just seems weird that all of a sudden these four great ones just land right in your lap, right at the right time when everybody's looking for things. And, you know, and so, you know, it's just kind of strange. I'm surprised that that not everything has gone already just because of the demand. And so to have four
That's
of these
right.
policies right
and
now.
And everybody wants to make some money again. And of course, you know, we had those three maturities that are coming.
Yeah.
You know, both two of them were early. One, I think, was 4 months. I think one was 6 months. Then the other one was an older policy. But it's a lot of money that people are getting in their account. And then we've had another one since then, and it's called Gallo. It's an older policy. And one person in it has got two positions.
Really?
And, you know, some people do that. They'll do a joint policy, maybe an IRA also. So lots of times people will get paid on more than one item in a policy. But Gallo was shocking, but I was glad. So that's another, I think that's a $600,000 policy.
Oh, wow. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the owner of the building that we're in Midland, he was in it.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Neat.
Yeah.
That's pretty
cool. Trey Graffa was in there.
Wow. It's neat. You know, it's one of these things where, and I know you talk about this all the time, but when you know somebody, even if you don't know them even directly, say, because I know you have a lot of people that will say, oh, yeah, I told my brother that, you know, we've been doing policies for a long time and we're into life settlements. We've made all this money and all that. But then if you just hear a name, it's just like, oh, wait a minute. I know who that is, or I recognize. Even if you're not like close personal friends, it's one of those things where it's like you go back to that thing where those referrals make all the difference in the world, because you would never trust. Well, I mean, some people would, but some complete stranger. And so when there's people that you know, and you see them doing well, and then you ask them how they're doing well, and they tell you, oh, I've been, you know, with Faye, and I've been doing these life settlements for, you know, several years, and we've made all this money, and, you know, la, la, la. You know, it just adds some more, I guess, validation to the investment itself. For those who have never done anything like this, and maybe they're scared, maybe they're nervous, maybe it's, you know, not the normal thing
that
they hear
of. Let
me tell
you something interesting. Uh-huh. This week, a client brought a guy to the office himself.
Really?
Said,
wow.
This is a friend of mine. I wanted y'all to talk to him. I've told him how much money I've made, what I've made,
uh-huh.
And he's interested.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought, yeah, that happens all the time. but they don't usually bring them with them.
Yeah.
Usually they just tell them and give them our phone number, and they call. But this guy brought the guy with him. They were close enough friends.
Well, that's pretty cool.
He called and said, I'll be there in about 15 minutes. And I'm bringing somebody with me.
Wow.
And I go, okay.
That's great. I mean, that's fantastic. You know,
it was fantastic.
It's always great when those kinds of things happen. And, you know, sometimes people don't, you know, like, I don't know, you may have a friend and or a neighbor or something like that. And, you know, people don't always share things like that, you know. And so to have some kind of a major impact on somebody's lives and say, you know, hey, I've been doing this for a long time. I can tell myself from my own personal experience that this has been working for a number of years. You should try it. And then when people start to, you know, explain it, maybe they get it right, maybe they miss a few things, but then the other person is understanding and they're like, hey, wait a minute, this is right. I have seen you, you know, you bought a new truck last year and you bought this and you got a new boat and you're traveling. And it's like, where's all this money coming from? And it's like, what are you doing? And it's just like, you know, people start thinking about retirement, building their wealth in a way that is not, I don't want to say at risk, but it's much more conservative the closer you get. And so, you know, these kinds of stories are fantastic.
It is a real retirement. Everything we do is really retirement situation. You know, I told you today about that one. They sold a guy a life insurance policy and promised him it was a retirement income. We all know a life insurance is payable on death.
Yeah.
I don't know of any other way to get paid on life insurance. And the people that we buy their policies, the only reason they're going to get paid early is because they're selling us the policy.
Yeah.
You know, because of their medical expenses, because they need to settle their estate.
Yeah.
But I was shocked at this guy saying somebody sold him a life insurance policy, told him that he was going to have all this income out of his life insurance policy. That's the most iffy thing I've ever heard.
Income?
A life insurance policy is for when you're dead. You know?
Wow. That doesn't even make logical sense.
You can say it's got mutual funds in it or indexes or something, but I have never seen one of those work for that it's going to give you enough income to live.
No. And that's not how it's designed.
It's just a life insurance policy.
Yeah.
And people should realize that.
Wow. I'm just shocked that somebody actually did something like that. I'm not trying to say anybody's
they don't
like,
wake up in time to know it.
Yeah. I'm not trying to insinuate that anybody made a bad choice, but boy, that's a bad choice. So
they should have given it a little more thought.
Yeah.
As what is income? You have to put up something that will make money that you know is going to make money. Life insurance is usually not to make money. It's to pay you when you die.
Yeah. So I just...
And these new kind of policies that say, oh, we'll invest this money and you're going to make all this money. It's not a guarantee.
Mm-mm. No.
You know, like with us, people know what they're going to make. If it's a life settlement, they know going in how much the profit is. They know that's what they're going to make.
Yeah.
And on a life insurance policy that has an investment in it, you have no way. I mean, I can't figure it out.
Mm-mm. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't even understand that. So... You know, and like you say, you know, what you're doing, you know, people know it's all laid out. So people know about when the policy is going to mature-ish. They know exactly what they're going to make. They know what kind of a policy they're getting into. They know what in all the ins and outs. It's just everything is all laid out there. So there's not really a whole lot of guesswork. There's definitely not the kind of thing where you have to get up in the middle of the night and say, do I have anything left right now? Or is there anything?
We don't have all that speculation.
No, all that's out. No. It's gone.
There's no speculation. When you buy a life policy with us, you know what you're going to make. You're going to know what the risk is. You're going to know if it goes over what it's going to cost. So you know all the facts and figures, you know, when you buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, we don't leave anything to chance.
No. And that's the thing that you're not going to get in really any other kind of investment that I can think of, whether it's real estate or anything. I mean, you don't know. I mean, market conditions affect just about every other kind of investment, but they don't affect a life insurance policy. It's not like, okay, well.
That's why life insurance is a better, I think, yeah. Personally, is a better investment. Because like this year, we've had, I don't even know how many million we've had. I should have added that before it came on air. But we've had millions in policies that matured that people made money on.
Hmm. Yeah.
Some of them paid 30%. Some of them paid as high as 40%. And then some of them paid less. But you know going in how much you're going to make. So that's what you look forward to, is what that policy is going to make. And you already know going in. It's not speculative. It's not, well, if this happens or that happens, that's what we've agreed on. We bought the policy on those terms, and it will pay that because we discounted the policy going in enough that it will make that much.
Yeah. I mean, you look at all these things. You have a threshold. You look at, you know, you're constantly weighing the pros and cons. And if we have to, you know, go in more to buy the policy, is there still going to be profit left in here? And it's like, if there's not, well, then you'll bypass. You'll skip it. You'll say, no, we're out because the profit margin is gone. And that's the whole point.
Yeah, and sometimes our competition is bidding so high that it gets so high you can't afford to buy it.
Yeah.
Because there's not going to be any profit.
Yeah.
And we're like our best. We'd like a little profit too. You know?
Yeah. You know? And when the policy matures, it's not like it's ever going to be discounted and say, well, you know, it's actually worth about, you know, 70% compared to what it was when the person took it out and bought it originally. And so we're only going to, no, it's not like buying a car where it's like as soon as you buy it, you know, it loses half its value. It's not like that. It's not like, well, the stock market's down.
That's why we don't do cars.
No flipping cars.
Oh, my gosh. And those people that went down this week, you know, they were financing through all these banks, all these car loans.
Oh.
In other words, the bank would go ahead and get them the money, and they hadn't even collected it yet.
Really?
And $100 million is missing.
No.
$100 million.
Are you serious? I didn't know it was $100
yeah,
million.
And nobody knows where it went.
Oh.
When they get those people in their hands, they're going to probably choke them to death.
Oh, yeah. And sadly,
do something.
Well, feed them a knuckle sandwich. But they're never going to get that money back. It's going to be gone.
And there's so many banks that were involved that were loaning them money on those titles.
Oh.
And now then they said, where is the money? There was $2.3 billion, I believe.
Oh, my word.
This money's just gone.
Nobody
knows where it went.
No.
Somebody left in the middle of the night and got on a jet, probably.
Yeah. They better have changed their name and their identity and
That's
everything.
That's what I'm thinking.
Presumably people looking for
them.
They
better have 3 wigs available.
Yeah.
Because somebody knew about it.
Yeah.
You know, there's always somebody that knows.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking they'll find somebody who'll tell them where they went and how they went.
Yeah, somebody's going to leak because...
Or they spend it all.
Yeah, exactly. And once they spend it, I mean, it's gone. If they buy, you know, jets and
cars...
It's going
to be hard to get it out of somebody that has nothing left.
Yeah. I mean, if they can find them, that's an if. But if they can, you know, it's probably, you know, in who knows what at this point. And so they may get a portion back if they're lucky, but it would be pretty small, I would imagine. It's just...
Unless they get them right away, because it's just been a couple of weeks.
Well,
so they might get them before the money's gone. Who knows?
They might, but boy, they better hurry.
But anyway, that's why I like what we do.
Yeah.
We don't have to deal with anybody that's financing something. We don't finance our policies. It's all cash. We don't do business with people like that.
Yeah.
And I imagine the banks are going to wish they hadn't.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
I mean, it wasn't a smart move. But, you know, people had factored cars and things like that for years and never had a problem. But the economy is so that they They did a great big deal, you know.
Wow.
Instead of a little deal, they did some huge deals.
I would imagine probably there's going to be more and more people putting schemes together for all kinds of things. Just to kind of overcome, you know, what's going on, especially when people are looking for some kind of like a golden goose or something.
Where's... golden parachute,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're going to take that golden parachute and come on down.
Yeah. So people, they're ripe for the picking, you know? It's just like, you know, give me some, throw me a lifeline and, hey, this sounds really great. Let's do it. And, you know, it's radical. So, but that's, you know, we always say that life settlement and annuities, really both of them, are kind of, we call them, oh, I hate to use the word boring. What's the word that we use? Not conservative.
Well, very, very ultra-conservative.
Yeah.
Because you know what you're going to make going in. You know what your risk is. You know what it's going to cost you. You know what your profit is. So it's a package deal.
Yeah.
You know all the facts, all the figures. You've got the life expectancy. You know how sick the person is. You know if it fits what you want to do. So you get all the upfront information. None of this happens to us on the backside.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the policies we've done in the last few years have gotten better and better and better. The ones when we first started, we were kind of naive, you know, about when the maturity is going to happen. We're not naive now.
Yeah.
We do our research. We're sure. And they're coming in early.
Yeah, they really are, and the data has gotten better and better. You know, the types of things that you're looking for has gotten better and better because the information is more, and so it's just really what started out as a really good opportunity for a conservative type of investment has only gotten better. And you've been through just about, you know, in the last many years that you've been doing this, you've seen just about every condition that there could possibly be, and nothing really seems to affect a life settlement. You know, it
doesn't. It's not affected by wind or tornadoes or
no.
You know, real estate. It's just not affected by all these things.
Yeah.
It being a human being, you know, it's just different.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like the excitement at the dog track where, you know, you're wondering, here we go. No, it's just kind of you're in. And then when the policy matures, you have a whole system in place that when it matures, you know, people get notification and then the money is distributed. And then, I mean, there's a process that's laid out. So it's very smooth. It's very easy. It doesn't take a lot of people's time. People don't have to do things every day and, you know, check in on something every day. And it's really just a matter of I almost want to say set it and forget it type of investment without having to worry about, you know, oh, my gosh, am I going to lose my principal or, you know, is anything left? And, you know, that's the one thing you always say is make sure you protect your principal. And that's what this does.
The principal, if you can protect it, you can survive anything.
Yeah.
But you don't want to risk your principal.
No. And the same thing really goes for annuities. I mean, those are really just, it's another conservative option, but it's one of those things where people just, they're in, and then, you know, in a year, you look at it, and it's like, okay, where do you want to go? You want to take some out? You want to, you know, what do you want to do? And so, I mean, it really takes nothing, and with the annuity, you've got that, how do you phrase it? The stopgap that makes sure that you don't lose your principal. And so again,
you've got the stopgap where, and of course it mirrors the stock market. If the stock market goes down, it has that stopgap and it stops you in your tracks and you don't lose anything.
Yeah.
That's the good thing about annuities. If anything goes wrong, it stops and you might not make a profit, but you won't lose your money. And that's, you know, that's the whole thing, keeping that principal safe. And when things are going good, you know, sometimes it makes 14%, 15%, 16%, and it might only make 3%, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But every year, the interest is locked in at the end of the year. So at the end of the year, you know what you've made, and we change it around if that one didn't make enough. But sometimes it works really, really well. And so we let it ride.
Yeah.
So either way, your money's safe, your principal's safe, and then we lock that interest in once a year, and it's safe.
Mm-hmm. And if the market goes up, your annuity goes up. If the market goes down and pancakes, your annuity is fine. It doesn't fall like that because of that stopgap. And so I would think that for a lot of people, that is, how do you say, it's easy on their nerves, maybe? It's anxiety healthy?
It is. And what I like about it, when a person gets older and says, you know, I'm fixing to retire, we'll recommend an annuity lots of times. Because if they need income every year, an annuity fits perfectly.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is send in a request once a year and get your money. It's nothing complicated. It's not hard to get your money out. It works just like it ought to. And we've still got for another 2 weeks that 16% bonus that everybody's going back and dipping in it right now. I have a lot of people that did annuities last year. So now they're doing an add-on because they want that 16% on the money they're putting in this year. So they're saying, okay, I need to do it now. So I've had a lot of people come to the office and, you know, write a check if it's a joint account. If it's not, we take it out of their IRA and put it in those annuities. So it works perfectly.
Didn't you say, and maybe I'm misremembering, was it last week maybe that you had said that some people had had realized, oh, we've only got a couple weeks left for these bonuses. And so a lot of people have really kind of come over and said, hey, can you get me an annuity before the bonuses
end? Yes, I did several annuities, sent them into the company, and we're just waiting for the money to transfer.
Yeah.
So they're there in plenty of time. They're going to get that 16%.
Cool.
And, you know, if you got that 16% for 3 years in a row, do you know how much farther along on your investment you'd be?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a tremendous deal if anybody would really think about it. You put in money this year, get 16%. Next year, you make another deposit, get 16%. That third year, you get the 16%. And then you start earning whatever it's going to make.
Yeah.
So you can't lose on a deal like that.
No. And those bonuses are on top of whatever profit you make.
They're on top of what it made each year.
Yeah. And even
if it's just part of your bonus situation.
Yeah. And, you know, and I know at this time last year we were talking about, because it was 14 last year, right? And then it went up to 16. And then they had said, oh, you know, it's they may go away by the end of the year. They weren't really sure. And then they hem-hawed around a little bit. And then they got extended. But now we know this year it is definitely going to come
down. We don't
know
how much it's going down.
Yeah.
But we know it won't be 16%.
No.
But another 2 weeks.
Yeah. So is 2 weeks enough time for somebody new to come over and get set up in an annuity?
Yes, we've got plenty of time. They've got all these new deals. We've got eSign now. I mean, they're getting really modern. They've got all this stuff you can do now to get it there farther and faster.
They are getting modern. I'm sure they don't have 30 years of documents piled up in the back room.
I don't think they do. Everything's in the cloud. They don't have all this files sitting around, I can assure you.
No, they don't. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is...
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Well, let me tell you a fact that you probably don't know. Denton, Texas has been named the Halloween capital of Texas.
What? Really?
And it lasts for 10 years once they say that. I mean, it's interesting. You know, Denton is a small town, right?
Yeah.
It has three universities, but it's still a small town. Last year when they announced this, you're not going to believe it, 660,000 people came to Denton, Texas. I imagine that town, they were just shaking their head. I mean, I don't think they could have even fed them.
Oh.
I mean, I'd like to see how they fed that many people.
Wow. Yes. My word.
And they had 200 programs, and they had something every day downtown for a month.
Wow.
For a month.
My word.
I mean,
word.
They had parades. They had face painting. You name it. They had everything in the world. And they said they were proud to receive this recognition from the state, and they're just all excited about ways to make it work and to generate income and fun for the people in Denton. And it's on the square. Everything's on the square in Denton. All the buildings on the square are pretty old, and they're pretty. But I couldn't believe it. And the business community, they're all coming together to think of ways to create interesting things for the people that are coming there.
Wow. That's awesome. I had no idea that they were the Halloween capital of Texas.
The Halloween capital of Texas. And it said they're like no other. They're so welcoming, friendly, innovative, creative, diverse, and unique. How about that?
Wow. That's everything you ever want.
That it's vibrant and it's a growing community. And I'll bet they have grocery stores there, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you're right.
Yeah, I mean,
more
they
than
have
one.
Lots of neat things. But, you know, they do have three great universities.
Yeah.
And the one has a 1 o'clock lab band that Doc Severinsen and all these famous people, you know, went to when they were in college.
Yeah.
But I was going to tell you the other thing, and this is, again, from Denton. They're recommending all these spooky books that you need to buy. If you want to scare yourself, they have books that you can read late at night and scare yourself.
Really? See,
the one is called The Haunting of Hill House.
Oh, I've heard of that before.
And these four strangers move into Hill House to study the paranormal reputation, and they get scared every way in the world.
Wow.
And then there's one called Dracula. It's out. And this one started out at Bram Stoker's Immortal Vampire. And, you know, it tells you all about the vampire, all of his doings. And so Dracula is the ultimate gothic chiller.
Yeah, I would call it that. Yep.
And so they've got all these books out that I don't know how long they've been out, but scary books. It says they will haunt you in the best way.
Wow. I can't remember any of the details, but I do remember hearing stories recently about Hill House and the people that went to do the investigations and all. And I thought there was like a movie or maybe something on Netflix or something. I don't know what it was, but I remember hearing something about it and I meant to watch it and I never did. So I kind of have a general gist of it, but I had no idea there was an actual book. I'd rather read the book.
And then you've got the one called Frankenstein.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very interesting. This girl published it, Mary Shelley, when she was just 20 years old.
What? 20?
She was 20 years old.
Wow, that's so awful young to be publishing a
and
book.
It's a blueprint for all your science fiction.
Really?
Even though she was 20 years old.
What is this? What's that one called? I got to write this down.
Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. Okay. All right, I got it down.
And it's a cautionary tale about human ambition gone too far.
You think?
And it says if you've never read it, be prepared to be surprised. It's more tragic than terrifying, but totally unforgettable.
Wow.
So they've come out with all these scary things for us adults to read.
Yeah, I mean, they're hyping that up quite a bit. So I got high expectations now. Frankenstein. Right.
And then the other one is The Woman in Black.
Ooh, now that's
it was written by a woman. Uh-huh. Susan Hill wrote it. And it's a ghost story is the scariest. It's about a young lawyer travels to a fog-drenched English village.
Ooh.
And discovers that the past refuses to stay buried.
That just sounds
they
spooky.
They come out at night and you know what that's like.
Yeah.
Enough to scare you to death.
Yeah, blah.
You know, I know a lot of people like to get in front of the fireplace, get it going, get some popcorn, and read scary books and get scared.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a little popcorn in front of the fireplace with some hot cider. And the lights off, just the light from the fireplace. Oh, yeah. That's creepy. I like it.
It is. And then if you hear something, the wind rustling outside, it's going to scare you after that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You hear anything going on, and all of a sudden, your brain is in that scary place, and then you hear any sounds or winds, you know, leaves or branches or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, against the window.
Yeah.
And it will scare you after that.
Yeah, it will.
Oh, my gosh.
All your senses are, like, on high alert, and you hear anything, and it's just like, what? It's creepy. It's cool.
It is. It's very creepy. And the stories are meant to really scare you.
Yeah. Yeah. I like those kinds of stories. They're fun.
Well, I know a lot of people do. My children, when they were younger, loved to get scared. And they'd watch something on television and scare them half to death. And they loved it.
Yeah. And then you can't sleep for days or weeks, but
that's right.
It was worth it.
And then they want to sleep with me. Yeah. It's like, we're scared.
No, children, get out of here. Go to your own room.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's crazy.
Oh, my word. Yeah, it's always fun. You know, that and what's the other one? The Horseman, the Sleepy Hollow, the Headless Horseman. That's what it
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah, remember that?
Yes.
I've watched that so many times.
Isn't that one a great one? Ugh.
It is. And when that head comes off, it'll scare you to death.
Yeah. Now, the really spooky ones, like The Exorcist or the whatever the other one is, I can't remember, those are a little bit too intense. I won't go near those. That's just a little too much. But
sometimes they do go too far.
Yeah, I can't.
Like Rosemary's Baby, remember that
one?
Oh,
yes, yes.
Yes.
Oh, that was too much.
And that was scary. That little doll was just, I mean, that was the scariest thing I ever saw.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Dolls are kind of scary anyway.
Well, that one, remember, had that terrible looking face.
Oh, I know it. Oh, it's just, oh.
Yeah, that would just scare you half to death.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to meet that even in the daylight.
No.
You know, stay away from that.
I know it. And that's the kind of image that gets burned into your brain. You can't ever forget seeing that. You can't unsee that face, ever, no matter how
that's
hard
right.
you try.
That's right. I mean, I've never forgot that one.
No. Ooh. Oh, that's creepy.
And I was just looking at the trailers on it. I wasn't even watching the movie.
Yeah, I know it.
I was just watching the trailer. It wanted to put it out there and get you to come.
Yeah, the trailers are scary enough. I couldn't imagine sitting through the whole thing. My word. And when in the world did clowns turn into something scary? I mean, you used to have, like, you know, clowns with your hamburgers and clowns at the circus, and it was fun. And now,
remember, and you had them at McDonald's everywhere.
Yeah.
And sometime or other, several years ago, some clowns did some bad stuff, and after that, everybody was scared of them, and they wouldn't have a clown.
I know it. It's.
And I don't know why, because they're funny. They're good at what they do.
Yeah. Especially the ones that blow up, you know, balloons and turn them into, like, animals and shapes
right.
and things. Those were always fun.
And now, here in Texas, we still have clowns that do perform. But I know worldwide, it doesn't seem like there's very many left.
No. The whole clown genre has changed. They were fun and innocent, and now they're spooky and scary and somewhat dangerous sometimes.
Right.
It's terrifying.
I think you're right.
Ugh. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
But still my favorite part about Halloween is still the candy. And always will
well,
be.
Well, I don't know about the candy, but this year there's actually six pumpkin patches. Mm-hmm. You know, we had some of them that just finally closed. They've been there so long, they just said, we're going away. But some new ones have popped up. Some of them are a little farther to drive, but they're having, like, a big, big success.
Mm. Pumpkin
patches. There is a lot of pumpkins in all different sizes.
Yeah. I love pumpkin patches and corn mazes. Those are always, you know, fun.
Oh, yeah. The corn maze was always a fun deal.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to go back to to being a kid at Halloween. It seems like it was, you know, I don't even know if we trick-or-treat anymore. Go to houses. It's all like a trunk-or-treat.
Oh, they do. Or, let me tell you something.
Do they really?
Out here, they're putting out lists of houses to go to.
Really? They do that?
Yeah, they have a list. Your child can go to all these houses. They will have candy.
Wow. Now, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know they did that.
It is cool.
Huh. And,
oh, yeah, the neighborhoods do this.
Oh, well,
they want to be sure the kids come. They don't want to have sitting there with candy and nobody shows up.
Yeah. I should have gone trick-or-treating in your neighborhood then.
That's right. Come to my neighborhood.
Yeah.
You just get your dog and walk along like your kids are ahead of you somewhere.
Next year, if I trick-or-treat at your house, you're going to yell at me and tell me I'm too old for this.
That's right. Oh, my gosh. But it's a fun time of year for
it
kids.
Is. It is. It's a really fun
time. And now that
time.
We don't have Party City, you know, they have to order their costumes from everybody in the world.
I know it. Oh, my word. Yeah, that was really
and
sad.
And, you know, the schools this year, you know, this is the first year they've went to public school.
Mm-hmm.
And they have something, it seems to me like every week, I'm sure it's not. But this week they did have one day for Halloween, one day you wore pajamas, one day you dressed.
Really?
I mean, for the week, they've had something every day.
Wow. Now, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We didn't do that when I was a kid.
It is cool. I mean, they had everything in the world. I couldn't believe it.
Wow. That sounds like fun.
Adam Sandler Day was Monday.
What?
Yeah, they had Adam Sandler Day, and you had to dress like him. I looked at one of my grandsons, and I said, what is wrong with you? He said, it's Adam Sandler Day. I go, oh, okay.
Oh, sure. Well, that
yeah,
makes
I mean,
all the sense.
I could tell. You know, he had the dark glasses, had this funny shorts and shirt on. I'm going, oh, my gosh.
Very out of character.
I was going to say, you can't go to school like that.
Yeah.
But then I said, well, yeah, I guess you can.
I guess you can. Wow, surprise. That's a way to wake up in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine?
Oh, my word. Whew. All right. So before we wrap, we do talk about the risks associated with a life settlement. You kind of touched on them a little bit earlier, that people know these ahead of time. We like to talk about them on the show. You review them with everybody that every investor that gets into a life settlement. It's out there and it's open. So what's the first biggest risk that people need to know?
Well, the first thing is if it goes over, you would have to pay a premium. So you need to always know that. And know how much the premium was, what your risk is on it. And then the second thing is, remember, it's not liquid till it matures. It doesn't pay, you know, every month or quarterly. It pays at the end. You get your principal and your interest.
Okay.
And the other thing is you must be accredited. In order to do this, to be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your house.
Okay. And to recap the available policies. Okay, so I know last week you had four. Two of them are filled. You're working on two more, right?
That's right.
Okay.
And it's a 6 month and a 15 month.
All right. So if you got regular investors, check your email. If you have a new investor that says, you know, hey, I really have been putting this off long enough. This sounds like a good opportunity. It's time to start doing something. How long does it take for them to get signed up, register?
I would think we could do this in a week.
Oh, wow. That's fast.
We're getting pretty fast.
Wow. I remember when it took a couple weeks.
And we still take personal checks.
Okay.
You don't have to go to the bank and get a cashier's check.
All righty. So perfect. So for anybody that wants to get started or has questions or just wants to kind of get a better feel for where they are, what their goals are, and what's the best route, they do need to come in, make an appointment. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is American Financial. Midland.com.